You're listening to the UCB Long Form Conversations podcast, in-depth conversations with performers and teachers from the best alternative comedy theater on the planet. This podcast is modeled on the improv form La Ronde, so the guest of our last episode becomes the host of this episode, and today's guest will become the host of our next episode. The opinions expressed in this episode are those of the comedians talking and don't necessarily reflect the opinions of UCB Theater or Training Center.
Warning. What you're about to hear is an extremely nerdy conversation about long-form improv comedy.
Welcome to the UCB Long-Form Conversations podcast. From Los Angeles, I'm Santina Muha. I was the guest on the last episode, but today I'm the host. And my guest today is Ego Wodem, who improv fans might know from the Harold Team 8 Babies, currently the Harold Team Rococo. She's on the Maude Team, The New Deal, and recently did the Just for Laughs New Faces show. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Santina?
I'm good. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, okay, we are here to talk about long-form improv. So why don't we talk about how you got into this crazy business?
Oh, man, the business of prop. let me think. Okay, so I had a manager way back when. This is like circa like 2010, 2011. And he was like, you should take an improv class. And I was like, no, that's just another thing people are telling me to do because they think I should have it on my resume. But am I actually going to benefit from it? I don't know about that. Because there were just so many things that it's like, and you should have this on your resume and this. And then you'd go take the class or whatever it is and be like, did I really need to do that? Or you just wanted to see it on a piece of paper with my name on it? I'll put it on the paper without doing the thing. So like, I was pretty resistant to the idea. And then like I had a commercial agent who told me the same thing and another commercial agent who represented me. And I was like, no. And then one day I went into my manager's office and I was like updating them on what's going on. And they were like, your energy is insane. I've since calmed down. Like, I'm way calmer these days. But they're like, your energy is out of this world. You should really take an improv class to like hone that and kind of create some structure around it and make something of it. And so then I was like, okay, maybe. So I asked my friend who is like comedy connoisseur. I was like, where should I take class? Because everyone's telling me I could take it at UCB, Second City, IO, or Groundlings. And I was like, so where do you think I should go? Because I'm not about to do all that research. And she was like, UCB. And I was like, okay, cool. And that's what I did. I signed up for 101 and then I loved it. I did not expect it. I was like, I'm going to take 101, have it on my resume. Everyone could shut the fuck up and then be happy. But I loved it. Yeah. So, wow.
When was that you started?
That was 2012. I finally signed up for class. It was summer 2012. I think June, July or something like that.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
So you went through the program.
Yes.
Did you get into advanced your first time around?
I did, which is also incredible. My teacher was Eugene Cordero, mm-hmm. who I thought was just like so amazing and so talented and so insightful.
Yeah.
And he also told us our class, he says, I'm not going to pass most people on their first try applying for advanced study. Or it was more so like, I'm not going to pass people just because. And it, essentially the tone was like, you're probably not going to pass, like, to everyone.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, yeah. I mean, there's for sure still more I need to learn. And he said for him, he was like, my least favorite thing to see is like to be teaching an advanced class and then have people in it that you're like, you don't need to be in advanced just yet, you know?
Yeah.
So that was cool to hear. So then I applied because I was like, well, whatever. You apply. If you get rejected, you get rejected. And then, you know, you take 401 again.
Sure.
And I got in and I was like, what? I just didn't expect it because in my head I was like, okay, from class. Because you know how you like stack people up and you're like, okay, from this class, I think that like these two for sure will get in advance. Like, I might not, like, whatever. But I was like, oh, shit. Okay, cool.
Right.
Yeah. So my first time, which was, I don't know. That's so cool.
It is cool.
Yeah.
That's the thing I feel like about UCB is like, you can make guesses all day long, but you never know.
You don't. That's just like fucking improv.
Yeah.
UCB is actually improv. Like, for real though. Cause all people do are making assumptions and like predictions. And it's like, oh no, you don't know.
Yeah.
And it's just like in a scene, you'd be like, I'm going to initiate this thing. And I'm pretty sure my scene partner is going to do X. Even if you don't know verbatim, you're like, pretty sure it's going to go this way. And it's like, no, it didn't.
Right.
So yeah.
So then what was the process for you? Did you audition right away? Like, talk about that.
So I applied for advance. I got in. I can't remember what month. I finished Eugene. I believe it was, no, I'm thinking of a different class. I feel like I did Eugene at the beginning of a year, at 401 at the beginning of a year, being 2015, the beginning of 2015. So got into advance. So I was in it in April, and I'm a diversity scholarship recipient. Mm-hmm. So oftentimes I would just schedule when I take my classes based on like, okay, when's that credit getting re-upped, yeah. You know? So I didn't take a class. So I got approved and it was like, awesome. I'm going to wait till I get money to take another mm-hmm. class. So in September, this is backwards. This is not right. but I took an advanced class at some point, but I auditioned right after I remember getting like approved, and then I auditioned for Harold in 2014. Uh-huh. See, now I said it all wrong. I took Eugene at the beginning of 2014. Time flies.
Okay.
Auditioned for Harold in the fall of 2014. Got a callback, which was amazing and so fun. Mm-hmm. And then did not get on. And then I was like, oh, I understand. I wouldn't put me on either. So I was like, that's great. I think, interestingly, though, I will say, I feel like there were choices that I can still remember my scene from my callback, and I'm like,
oh yeah,
like right. Yeah. Do you remember that kind of stuff?
Yes, yeah, of course. Like, you're like, me too.
I should have said.
I know. Yeah, right.
But yeah, so like it was. So then I did that, and then I auditioned again, fall of 2015, and I got on a Harold team, and that was like, oh my gosh, so amazing. It's such a like, what a feeling.
I know.
It's like. So amazing. And then, you know, that was fun. I played with eight babies and now Rococo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how was your experience? How was your first year on Harold Night?
Okay. First year on Harold Night. So what's interesting about this that Santina is interviewing me is because Santina, when I got on, I saw you like maybe the day after. And I've told you this once already, so you know what I'm about to tell you.
Yeah.
So I saw you like the day after and you were like, don't spend the whole year worried about getting cut because that's what I did. And I'm like... So that's been like the soundtrack in my head.
Oh.
Anytime in my first year, I felt like, oh, okay, I'm getting nervous or I'm worried about how well I'm doing or how well I might do. I was like, fuck it. Fuck it. Mm-hmm. Santina said, don't do that. So it was like, you probably said it in such like passing and like, you know, a comment you didn't think would stick. But I'm like, that is the soundtrack in my head,
oh,
low key
cool.
before. Every show, I'm just like, it doesn't matter. Have your fun. And,
yeah.
you know, at the end of the year, if you get cut, you do get cut. But at least you want to know, like, it's not because you spent all year worried about getting cut. Because if you're worried about getting cut, you're playing not great.
Yeah, and you're putting energy into the negative. Not to be, oh my God, I sound so California. But you know what I mean. You know what I mean.
We're both from the East Coast.
Oh, yeah.
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 It's funny because I've been here so long that when you say that, I'm like, it didn't register.
I know.
But honestly, if you had said that sentence maybe like 7 years
yep.
ago, I'd be like, this California.
I know,
girl.
Totally. No, I was just back east and my friends were like, you are so California. But then when I'm here, my friends are like, oh my God, you're so Jersey.
Yeah, it's can't find
me. No.
I have like adopted, I've adopted some California ways. I'm so much calmer.
I used to be
so like, I'm going to tell you off.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you off and you off. And this one person is my friend. Like,
yep.
Uh-huh. So that's a good thing for us. But no, I think about that. My first year is like
good.
You telling me like,
oh, I'm
saying
so glad
that.
I said that.
Yeah.
No, and I remember saying it to you. We were in Public House
yes.
or something. And it was like, yeah, I was bummed. But I was happy for you. Like, you know, there's always those few, it's just to be
the
completely
truth, yeah.
real. There are some people that you see get on a team and you're like, oh, okay. But then there's some people that you're really happy for. And I remember
yeah.
seeing you and being like, oh, I'm actually really happy
Santina,
for this person.
Thank you.
And so I was like, let me just girl to girl, like give you a quick.
That was,
you know, and
so
I'm
helpful.
Glad. I'm so glad that.
Oh, yeah.
It
that,
stuck,
guys,
yeah.
everyone should do. Thank you for that, by the way. Like, you, that was amazing. Cause truly, like, so useful to me. Like, stuck with me. It's still, like, even in this coming thing, it's gonna just continue to stick with me. It's like, don't do that because what the nature of improv, I might have a bad show. Like, with Eight Babies, I had some bad shows for sure,
mm-hmm.
right? But it was also. I could have gone into those next shows thinking, like, that last one was bad. You really need to prove yourself on this one.
Yeah.
And even that is, like, what I took from what you said is just, like, do the thing you do, have your fun, you know, work hard in rehearsals and stuff. But when you have the show, just go have your fun and do you, and don't be worried about the consequences of whatever it is that you do. Okay. And I remember Eugene in my 401, when he gave us notes in the middle, halfway through, it was just also cool because I'm like, sometimes I want to ask him. I mean, I never really see him around, but I want to be like, did you give me these notes? Because you're like, this girl is a diverse performer and like has promise. Because I was a little timid in 401. I would initiate, but I think that I wouldn't make moves. And so it's interesting for a person to be able to see like, you're not making moves, but I can note you on the fact that I know you have ideas. Like, it's mm-hmm. clear to me that you do, and you're not making them. His note, like his email, I remember is like, make the move, then get the note. Like, and also that is how I try to play now, is when I think about shows now, I'm like, the only time I regret, really regret, because you can be like, oh, I wanted to do this thing, but it's only time I ever have real regrets after shows is when I had an idea for a move and I just didn't. I like
yes.
talked to myself on the back line for Ugh. Like why it wouldn't work, or waiting for that. Like those are the moments I regret the most, and I can Same. Name them. Like
yeah,
I can,
yeah. so me too.
Still, right?
Yes.
Right. How many years later you could be like, in that time we were in this scene, I wanted to say this thing or come out and make yeah. this move, and I didn't.
There was when Art's, you know how sometimes Besser comes and does those workshops with
yes.
us, and so when I was on Landlord, he did that, and we went up. And, you know, we went off of a living room or something, or a monologue someone did. And then I had an idea for a scene.
Yeah.
But I, for whatever reason, was more concerned about the consequences, didn't do it. And someone else started a scene, and it was eh, and I felt like it was eh. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, when he was giving us our notes, the scene I would have started was the one he said he would have started if he had done it.
See,
and
yeah.
I, what are you going to say? I was going to say, I mean, uh-huh. it's just stupid. There's nothing you can do or say
yeah.
except for, you know, stand on the back line, like shaking your head, and then remember it forever.
Yeah.
That's
and
all
exactly.
You
all you could do is then, yeah, chastise yourself for till the end of time, because it's like, yeah, you should have just done it.
I should have just done it.
Yeah. But like when Eugene said that, and he said that it's in this email, and it's all the same thing that what you said and what he said. It's this idea of like, when I know the whole like motto is don't think, but mm-hmm. and I know people are like, oh, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But yeah. you do need to think. And I'm like, yeah, but then also don't. Just
yeah.
do, but don't also.
Like
yeah.
don't obsess.
Don't
this
obsess.
Should be the,
yeah, like you're on motto. You're on the back line and you don't initiate a scene that you want to, and then to hear Besser be like, you know, based on this opening, what I would have initiated mm-hmm. is X. Like, that has to feel like, what? Why didn't I
know.
Do that? It'll, like, stay with you forever, probably.
Yes, because
yeah.
I was just too nervous to, I don't know, do it in front of all my peers and him and mm-hmm. my team. I don't know.
Well, you are. Well, that's what it is. I'll say this, like, about Harold Knight, for instance, and I get what you... Like, before, when you said that to me, right, when you're like, don't be spent the whole yeah. year worrying about being cut. Like, when you say that to a person who's never been on Harold before, it kind of is like, not something you brush off, but it's like, okay, yeah, I take this into
right.
account, but I don't know what exactly you're referring to. I don't really know until you're there.
Yes.
And even people who got on recently, you like tell them, like, not because I'm an expert or I'm better at improv than you at any, mm-hmm. by any means, but it's like, you have to realize, like, Harold Knight is a very interesting, unique experience. And what you're saying about not initiating because you're worried about, like, the whole people, like, the people watching the workshop who are also Harold performers, or what Besser might say, that's a very real thing for all of Harold Knight. And you have to, like, talk yourself out of that, which is that whole idea of, like, don't worry about it. Like, we did a diversity thing, you and I did, I remember a few, I don't know when mm-hmm. it was, a few months ago, and I told you the same thing that you told me. But it was also this idea of, like, this is going to sound not great either, but like, fuck everybody, is what I'll tell myself that before Harold, like, I don't find myself saying that before an indie show, but
right.
for whatever reason, before Harold Knight, I'm just like, fuck everybody. Because yeah, you're worried about like on the side,
yeah.
other Harold performers
yeah.
are watching and people you've admired or like, you know, are really good and are so smart and quick witted
mm-hmm.
and all of that stuff. And you're thinking like, wonder what their opinion of is of me. And
yeah.
it's like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, which is easier said than done. But it's true. Like, we all have that idea, like, just the reason you didn't initiate that scene. Because why else wouldn't you, right? It's besides like thinking about is everyone going to think this stupid? How's it
yeah.
going to be received? And
yeah.
it's like, fuck it. You just do it. Like, you just do it. And then it might be fucking stupid, but it also might not. And honestly, you're rarely ever like, that's the other thing. I don't remember where it's like, I made this move and boy, was it bad and I'm upset with myself. I don't have one of those.
Exactly.
Yeah. And even if it was a bad move, right? I'm not saying all my moves are
then
perfect.
Your teammates would help, you guys would fix it together.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember those either, but I remember the times where I should have said something or I wanted to say something where I thought, oh, maybe their idea is going to be better. And then they do something and I'm like, no, my idea was better.
I know, I have one. You know? I wonder, like, nope. No. What I wanted to do, my most recent one, I was like, nope, what I wanted to do was better. I'm confident it was better. Because either it would get as little of laugh as yours did or more. Like, it wasn't going to be worse, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So
there's a reason you're put on the team. Yeah. You know what you're doing. Your instincts are right.
Yeah, and you have to trust that. It's weird. Man, Harold is so different than any other. Like, we do improv, and it's amazing, and I freaking love it. I did not see that coming. I love it. But Harold Knight is so unique, and I had a coach tell me when I had talked to him after I got on initially, and I was like, okay, these are the things that I'm feeling right now. This is, like, a few weeks in. I'm like, these are the things I'm feeling. These are, like, my concerns. And he was like, yeah, and part of it was how people act weird to their friends when can we talk about
that? What I was saying.
That's not cool. Public service announcement? No, it's really not cool. God, like, I could cry right now, except for I'm not going to, but, like, it's actually really upsetting. And not because I feel like I lost any great friends or anything like that, but even just, like, watching people, how they behave to their friends.
Yes.
Even if it's not my whole thing, I'm just watching from the sideline. I'm like, that's not cool. Like, don't fucking be that way. This is such a fun thing we get to do for free, mostly. Like,
I know.
Like, we're my
mom, it does cost a little bit of money. It's not that free.
It's not free. We're paying. We get to pay to do this thing.
Yeah.
And my coach that I was talking to at the time said, I don't know why people. He was like, people get really envious and weird with their friends when it's like, oh, you're jealous that you don't get to do this really hard fucking show once a week. Because that's what it is. Like, it's amazing and it's an honor to be up there. And it's so exciting and it's a blast. It really is very fun. But it is a little stressful every week. And it's also, like, a challenge every week. So it's, like, I think people think it's, like, I'm going to get up here and I'm going to have all the prestige and all the respect. And it's going to be easy. I'm going to do what I always do. And it's, like, No. So it's a hard show every single week. I fucking hate the people with their friends. That is not cool.
It's like Mean Girls. They get into, like, a little clique of, like, oh, now I know, like, when I was on a team and then they weren't, and then when the script was flipped, feeling like, oh, now you're cooler than me. Oh, okay, I got it now. Okay, cool, you're better than me now. Got it.
Yeah.
No.
It's not cool. Everyone be cool. Like, I think in the emails that used to, like, Mike used to send when you get on, and it's like, okay, so you got this performer standby situation.
Yeah.
I remember there's a sentence in there somewhere at the end, and it's like, be cool, or, like, if you need to get a standby seat with the house manager or something like that, and it's like, you know, whatever, talk to them about it, but, like, hey guys, be cool. And I was like, that should be the model for the entire community. Don't think and be fucking cool.
I know.
Like, and even if it's okay to be sad if you don't get on, like, that is okay to be sad for yourself. No one's telling you to be like, you should be congratulating and jumping for joy.
Right.
But, like, I saw people's friendships actually weirdly affected by it, and I'm like,
yeah,
guys, is it worth? It's not worth that. Like, well, it's amazing, but it's not worth friendships.
I don't think people, that's what it is. I don't think people understand until they do it, though.
Yes.
Because, like you were saying, like, before, my image is like, oh, those eight people are best friends. They're all comfortable in what they're doing. They're so good at it. They've been doing this for 100 years. I didn't even realize when I got here that some of them, that was their first year on the team. The first time that I was here and watched the whole cut process, I was confused. I didn't know what the hell was going on. I'm like, wait, that person's a comedian. Why did they get cut? I didn't get that they were in the same.
That person's a comedian. Why did they?
I didn't understand that they were in the same position that I would be in a year or two later.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And get it. So I think when people watch, like, you think that that's the position where, it's like I was watching Jennifer Goodwin one time, you know, that girl from, she's an actress anyway.
Right, yeah.
They were like, wow. On an interview show, they're like, it must feel so great that now you're, like, at the point where you don't even have to audition anymore. You know, you spent some money. And she's like, yeah, but it's like, I'm at the top of one ladder, but now I'm at the bottom of the next ladder.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like that. It's like, thought once you get on a Harold team, you're, like, just golden.
Yeah.
But you're not. Now you're at the bottom of a different
Yes. Thing. That's good. That's a good one. That's a good quote, dude.
Like, yeah,
that's
true. Now you're all you want is to get on a, you know, a weekend team or something.
Or even like, oh, you don't want to get cut. And also there is this idea though of like, of, you know, other Harold performers do come to watch and they're on the side. Mm-hmm. Then there's people in the audience who didn't make it, who are good. Like, that's right. Who are very, very good and have been working hard as well. And then there's, you feel this like added pressure of like, even on opening Harold night, it's so amazing. And the energy is insane. You'll never get an audience like that, you know, like just completely packed and overflowing standing room shit. And, but you know, there's people watching that's like, we're here, we're going to support you, which is a very nice feeling. You can feel that. But it's like, why are you on?
Yeah.
Why are you on and not me? Exactly. I'm coming to see exactly what it is that about you that I missed in all the indie shows we did together. And like also it's the idea that everyone will get their day though too, I do think. And you are at the bottom of, you are at the bottom of a new ladder when you get on, because it's, the idea of proving yourself.
And then there's teams that have been on Harold Night longer than you, or God forbid if you're placed on one of these teams where you're brand new and there's veterans on your team.
Eight Babies was
Landlord.
A real panic. Yeah, a real panic attack.
It is.
I was like,
there's a hierarchy already on your team.
Yeah.
And, I know. We were on the same, we were both on teams with Johnny and Jacob.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And who are so wonderful. Right?
Sure. Girl. Well, at my point, Jacob was a newbie.
Yes. Okay. Exactly.
At your point, at your time, he was a vet.
1 year. Yeah, 1 year in, and like I had like Johnny, who had been on, I believe, for four years, or 4 years, and then or three or four. Danny Cohen, who had been on for three or four or something, or three, I believe, and Jace, who'd been on. And I was like, wait, what? And I took it as a compliment. I was like, okay, you think I can hang? Is why you're putting me here, right? But also like, these people have had this much more experience. They've been on Harold Night this much longer. So they're like comfortable on the stage. They're comfortable on Monday nights.
Right. They've got out all those first year jitters.
Exactly.
Right.
And then it's like, how does this girl play? Did these people see me play at an indie show where I was really, really terrible? Mm-hmm. And it was midnight and I was really just trying to go home in 10 minutes because I live on the west side. So who knows what they saw, you know? And so you worry about all of that. But it's like, man, when you get on, but even still, once you're the veteran, it's like you said, the next, your whole thing is like, are we going to get graduated or am I going to get cut?
Why am I not graduated? Yeah. Why am I not on a weekend team yet? And then when you get on a weekend team, it's like, why haven't they asked me to do ASCAT yet?
Yeah.
Why hasn't Besser asked me to do, Improv for Humans yet?
Yeah.
There's always something that you're like wanting still to do.
Yeah, but that's like life too, because I think even in this, it's life period, but then also in this industry specifically, like I did, CBS Showcase at the beginning of 2016, and I did it. It was amazing, and it's like opens up these doors and a lot of opportunities, right? And then you're like, okay, so when am I going to book my pilot?
Yeah, no, I did the ABC Showcase.
Yeah, exactly.
And
you're
you're
like, okay, so what's my deal? But like, not jealous at all. I try to check myself, but you try to check yourself. Like, you can be like, oh, I wanna. That's okay. Like,
well, someone told me once, if you're looking left and looking right, you're not looking forward.
Yeah, which is very, very true. As far to stay off the internet.
Oh my God, it's impossible.
I try to stay off the internet because I'm like, oh, got a glimpse of. I feel like I've started to become a little numb to it though, too, Santina.
Right.
Where I'm just like, yes.
How many of our friends won Emmys this year?
I know.
I'm like, oh my God.
Which is amazing. I'm like, but that's like a good thing because I'm like, we're so close.
We're close.
Like, we're close because how many people can say like, I have several friends who won Emmys.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So it's like, for me, I remember my first friend who booked a pilot. It was 2015. She booked a pilot. And 2015. She booked a pilot. It got picked up to series. But I remember when she booked it, I remember feeling like I won. Because it was like, oh, this can actually happen to me.
I know. I agree. I totally agree.
So, but no, there's always just something else that you want to be doing.
Yeah.
And even when you're like, oh, I'm good at this thing in improv, right? So whether it's Harold Night, say like you have the skill and you're like in my scenes, people tell me like Ego's decent at labeling, right? So it's like, okay, if I'm the labeling person, when can I be? When am I going to be the tag in person? When am I going to be that walk on person who just fucking destroys with the walk on?
Right. When are people going to love my kooky characters?
Exactly. Right. So it's so, you know, you kind of have to learn to be. But I think what you and Eugene said helped me be like,
I'm so
all
happy.
You have is today. All you have is right here. Yeah. Like, do with it Have a good time.
And everybody has their own path. I think that's really important too, right?
Yeah.
Some people get discovered right from Harold Knight. Other people aren't. That's not the thing that catapulted them or whatever. So, you know, so it's important not to put all of your eggs in any of these baskets.
No.
And that's the cool thing about UCB is there are so many different platforms and ways that you can perform and be on the performer page and be a part of the community.
Yeah.
But I think people forget about that.
They do. And you know what? I feel like because I haven't been cut yet, but I can only imagine because I know what it was felt like to like my first year. I did feel like I had a pretty good callback, right? So like people were like, oh, people who sat in were like, you got to get on. Mm-hmm. You have to be getting it. And then and everyone's like, she's going to get on. She's going to get on. And then to not felt really terrible. And I imagine that there's some similar thread in that with like getting cut too, but I try to remind people who've gotten cut, and hopefully if the day comes for me too, is like you said, there are so many freaking other opportunities. It's hard to remember in that moment, but like dust yourself off, and you're allowed to be sad, but dust yourself off and remember that, because you know, you look at Abby and Alana who never made out on Harold Knight, guys.
I know, I mentioned them too when I was a guest. You can't not mention them,
And like Marcy had mentioned on Facebook about Nicole Byer.
Oh my god,
what a great,
this is exactly what I was saying.
Yeah, but it's like, yeah, that's amazing,
because,
right
because these are the different paths that you can go on. Or then you look at someone like Lauren Lapkus, who was on a Harold team, is on a graduated team, is in a blockbuster movie. But that's her path. You know what I mean?
It's not going to be the same for anyone as long as you have the drive and you continue to believe in yourself. Because I remember a long time ago when I decided to pursue acting and whatever, I had a friend who said to me, it's just like he doesn't act at all. This is my like sensei from Jersey.
Oh yeah.
My homie. But he was like, you know, it's a given that if you are working hard at a thing, it's bound to happen pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when he said that, it was like years ago. I was like, okay, not necessarily, right? But in my head, but I think more and more as I feel closer. Who knows if this is as close as I get? You never know that either, right?
Right.
But I'm like, I feel as I get closer, I'm like, oh, it really is just like the more you are doing, and the more you, if you believe in yourself unequivocally, like, people are going to have to be convinced. They're gonna be like, obviously she thinks there's something in herself, and she is not relenting. She's not taking no for an answer.
Right.
Or he, whatever. And it's like, okay, someone is bound to be like, you know what? I want to make this thing with you, or I want you to be in this thing that's important and significant.
Mm-hmm. Especially for us in the diversity community. I feel we have to like take that into account because there's fewer of us.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. We have to. I mean, there's space for us, which is not like, it's nice to feel like you guys need us anyway. Like, not for numbers, but like we need to be represented here. Right.
Yeah. But also there's like a niche like competition thing where there's like that token thing where you're racing against the others of your diversity too.
I know. Someone said about Harold like last year, they were like, something about like only can add one black girl to Harold Knight. And I was like, I don't think they're thinking that, but I'm sure it feels that way.
Right.
But maybe they don't know. Maybe it is a subconscious thing but I think UCB is changing so much that in my head, I'm like, maybe I could see that a few years ago. It was like, well, okay, black girl cover, check.
Yeah.
Girl in a wheelchair, check. Great. Like, but I don't know. I feel like now it's you've seen it too. Like the community has become so diverse.
Yeah. Well, it's getting there.
Yeah. Like, but even the diverse people have that I do know are like very much entrenched, entrenching themselves in the community and trying to make themselves a part of it and get to know people.
Mm-hmm.
And because maybe they feel a responsibility as well. And like, okay, I want to change this place. But I think like, yeah, the idea that's like, yeah, you do feel sometimes. I mean, I was the only black person on 8 Babies. I was the only person of any color on 8 Babies.
Yeah.
And I remember that being a big thing of like, I had said, I was like, okay, so in addition to all the other pressure one might feel on their first year of Harold Knight, I feel pressure because I am the black person. So you want to make black people proud.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Oh, my God.
Realistically, you want to make black people proud. I'm like, that's our girl. And you want for the people in the audience who are like, you're not what I'd imagine. When I look at you, you're not what I think of when I think of improv comedy, or like a person who's good at improv comedy, because you look different from the mm-hmm. seven other people up here. You would think about like, oh, I know what they're expecting of me. And it was, for me, a moment of like shattering expectations. I had this scene that was, it was like a day. I had a talk with my brother before I walked to the theater. This is like week three or four on first year, Eight Babies.
Yeah.
And it was about like shattering expectations. So I'm like, I think people are looking like, how did that black girl get on that team? Like, I just felt like, oh, that's gosh. What I was like, I wonder if people yeah. are like, or what's, or maybe even not how, right? So even if it's people who think they're being supportive in their head, like an idea of mm-hmm. it felt like, what is this black girl gonna do?
Right. Like, or how is she gonna represent?
Yeah, what is she about to do? And yeah. I just always felt like it's a big moment if I'm gonna do or say anything. So anyway, I remember walking to the theater. This is like a few weeks in, when I was thinking about what you said, and I was like, okay, I have a show. Talking to my brother, and I was like, I want to do what got me on here, which is like, I am a confident player. I am generally like pretty confident and out there with my ideas, but mainly like it helped with, like Eugene had said a while back. So I'm like, okay, all these things. And I was like, well, why am I not doing this here? And I was like, well, cause I think people are looking, and you know, black people are like, is she any good? And then people who are white are like, okay, that's my phone going off, guys. It's off. Okay. So I think that people are like, they're like, okay, what's this black girl going to do? Different person. What's she going to add that's unique? Mm-hmm. So anyway, this whole thing, I said to my brother, okay, I'm going to shatter expectations. I don't want what I think people are expecting me to do, especially as a girl, because I think I am like weirder than people might assume. I mean, if you've spent any time with me, you'd be like, this girl's fucking weird. But I don't think people assume that about me. But I was like, yeah, I was playing like people's expectation too. Like most first few weeks, I was like doing what they think. Like, okay, I'll come out and be your wife and tell you you're being crazy, which is not me. I want to play the crazy husband or the crazy wife. So I remember, anyway, I initiated a scene that was just so just loud and abrasive and like, great. And it just, I was like, yeah, this is what I want to do. Just so you guys know, I can do that. But I remember I walk backstage. It's week three or four. Jacob Wysocki looks at me and he nods his head and he's like, I like that. And I was like, yeah, they didn't know what to expect. Yeah. It wasn't in my head, guys. Like, it was really like, I think they're like, what's she going to do? Is she good? What is she not at? Like, not in, they're all super wonderful and supportive. Wonderful people, by the way. But, you know, like, okay, so what is this? What's her role in this thing? And I didn't want to get like shoved into the like quiet, she's too scared role.
Good. And
like,
I'm so proud of you that you did that so early on, because it's almost like a friend zone where like, if you don't get it out quick enough, you're kind of stuck.
Yes. Yeah. It's true. Like, and I think the reason I remember it too is because it was such a big moment. It really was. Like, had the conversation with my brother on the way to the theater. We hang up. He's on the East Coast. I get off the phone with him and I was like, okay, I'm going to do what I need to do this. And I did. And I did that. And I was like, good. And like, now they know what I can do and like what I like to do and I have the most fun doing. And that was a first beat. So many people tagged into our first beat. because it was fun.
Yeah, it was
and
such
I was
a
like,
good fun
I was
beat.
Like, it was fun. And like, it was fun to just be like, it was about my penis being on fire. And, like, and it was like, okay, yeah, everyone wants to respond to this person whose dick is on fire.
Yeah.
So it was a good time. But anyway, that's my thing on being diverse and not my whole thing, but part of my thing is
No, it's cool. Like, because being in a wheelchair, if you're listening, I'm in a wheelchair. We've talked about it, but I don't know if they know. And so for me, one of my main issues really early on was walk-ons. Like, because, you know, we're like so used to these cues, these like audio and visual cues, and I don't make them the same way. Mm-hmm. Or like editing, I hardly ever edit because it's like I can't do like the jog. To say I'm editing, not walking, you know, doing a walk-on. I can't tell you how many times in improv scenes I'll go to edit and people will be like, oh yeah, here, ask my friend or whatever. They'll think
it's a walk-on.
And now I'm like, cool, I just walked in at the pivotal, like the worst part of this scene.
Yeah.
To do a walk-on, because it should be over.
I was trying to end it, and now here we are. Yeah. We've added another person we need to address.
I have no idea. So I just kind of stopped editing. But, you know, I had to have conversations with them. And so I think if you are diverse and you're on a team, like early on, it's not, I feel like everyone's always so receptive.
Yeah.
So it's so important to have that conversation and kind of be like, guys, like, this is what it looks like. And, you know, so one time we did an all wheelchair Herald.
Oh, yes. Yes, I do.
It was, and I gotta say, I never felt more like in control. I felt so good because I feel like, okay, like, I know what I'm doing. We're all in the same. Actually, if anything, I have the upper hand here because I have more.
Yeah.
But it was so fun. And I felt like they really got to understand, like, oh, it is kind of hard to, like, you know, go to the back line. Like, there were times you would go backwards. They would go, like, turn around to go into the back line and be stuck facing the curtain because they couldn't turn around because, like, there's a chair in the way or whatever.
Oh, yes.
So, like, just physically, it was so cool to do that. So, I just encourage everybody, like, based on what we're both saying,
yeah,
to be, like, so open and honest with your team. And, like you said, I love that you did it out the gate.
Yeah.
And because, you know, we could have done that wheelchair Herald probably a little more early on, and then they would have been able to grasp physically what I was talking about. Because it's like you said, everyone's great people. It's not like they don't want to understand.
Right.
But how can you possibly understand what it's like to be black or be in a wheelchair if you're not?
If you're not.
It's impossible.
Exactly.
I don't care if you're Tyra Banks and put on a fat suit.
Yeah.
For one day.
It's not the same.
It's not the same.
What you will get is a little baby glimpse.
Yeah.
I mean, one of our last, I think it was our last show, Eight Babies, we had a late night show, and we did, it was a scene, and someone said, they killed some kid or something like this. Is going to sound very, very dark, right? I remember being, okay, the one black person on the team. I wanted to make a comment about this kid getting killed. I can't remember the specifics, but point was that it was like, oh, someone said I was always scared of him. And I go, why were you scared of him? If that was in the beginning of our run, I would have been like, oh, I don't want to do the race thing. And everyone's going to be, but we handled it. It was so amazing too, because I felt safe with these people and comfortable. And I think like trying to get to that place sooner too. Mm-hmm. So like, here's like, we're telling like all the newbies what to do and shit, but it's like, hey, veterans, like, go out of your way if you're on a team with new people to make them. And people do. They're very nice and warm, but like, try to like, for, I know you're seeing people as people and that's amazing and stuff, but like, but consider their diversity or their unique perspective and think about that and think about how you can help make them feel comfortable showcasing that on stage with you.
Totally.
Yeah.
It's one conversation. If they're like, dude, I don't want to talk about that, then that's it. You don't
have
to talk about it.
Right.
But give them the opportunity because they may be afraid or feel awkward to bring it up. I think that's great.
Yeah, like if a new teammate is of any diverse group, saying to them, hey, so I know you're black. I know that you know you're black. I know you're black. It's no secret. No, but like, just like, hey, there's this, you know, for me, we've been like, you're the only black person on the team. How does that feel? I think someone fucking did, but I don't know if I'm imagining it because I love them so much now that I'm like, oh, everyone had that conversation, but I can't remember. But I do think like, yeah, try to bring that out and help foster that and help people feel comfortable. Cause I think by the end I was like, we're all cool, super cool. You guys know I'm weird. And so it's not a secret anymore. And so when I did that thing, I was like, I normally again would not have done it, but I was like, oh, these people know me and we're going to handle this. And I just want to see how we do. And then everyone was like, I was scared of him because blah, 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 blah. Well, I don't want to say why I was scared. And then someone's like, is it because he was black? And then we all gang on him and it's like, no.
Why would you? Right.
It was an amazing like turn of whatever the audience thought. And then there's a point of like, let's check if this dog is racist, which is a weird, stupid scene. And I said, I'm not going to be the martyr because I go, I know the whole audience is like, well, they have one black person.
Yeah, yeah.
And I go, I'm not going to be the martyr. And they loved it. It's like the elephant in the room. Like, no, I'm not doing that.
Yeah. I think that's like really important for a Herald team or any improv team to get to a place where everybody can be comfortable being themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's like so important.
Yeah. I think that trumps even like being a new member of Rococo. Like the important thing is like getting to a place where you all feel like, okay, we know each other. We feel comfortable with each other. I feel like I can be myself with you.
Exactly.
And that makes for the best improv because improv is so much of just being like true to you and your sense of humor and your sensibilities.
Yes, and bringing out your own experiences and what you, because only you are going to add this specific or this idea to this scene.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that sometimes it's hard because with these teams, they get put together. So you may, like, some of my teammates I met on that day. I never even heard of them. I had to like look them up on Facebook. I had no idea who they were.
Yeah.
And so it's not like you know, when you're putting together a team of your friends from this class or something.
Oh, yeah.
So it does take a little bit more time. And then, like, especially if you're put on these teams where you're new and they're not, maybe you're a fan of this performer.
I know, yeah.
Whatever it is. And now you have to try to be comfortable and get on the same level as somebody who you admire. It's tough.
I know, yeah. The thing is, for instance, like, Johnny coached my mess hall team before I got on Harold Knight and Eight Babies. So he coached us, not regularly, but like whenever we needed a sub, right? I'd be like, we're bringing in Johnny because he's going to lay down the law. He's such an amazing coach. He's so clear. I told him this when we got on Harold, and I was like, oh, I always used to love you as a coach. You're my like one of my favorite coaches. And Johnny's like, sad thing about this is that I'll never coach you again, huh? And I'm like, I mean, who knows?
Right.
But like, yeah, that might be weird. Like, but maybe not also. But yeah, it's this idea of like, oh goodness, I'm on a team now with the guy who I would always be like, up until we got on Harold. Like it was like there's between my mess hall and Harold, it was like a 1 month stint, like barely. And so I'm like, he coached us a month ago. Like, and it was like, oh, now I'm playing with this person who I was always like, I want him to coach us.
Yeah.
And now I'm like on a team with him. Yeah, the biggest thing is like supporting, and then also like you're saying, getting to know each other, but really making a real effort, not that like superficial, like, oh, here we are all at drinks, being our best selves,
right, right, or like just trying to like subtly like humble brag so everyone knows I deserve to be here, or you know, like that's, you know, it's like competition within competition, but like within friendship, it's not easy, guys.
It's not. It's not. That's what, I know, because you get on and you're like, so does this person think, so there's seven people, you're like, does person number four think I'm good? I think number three thinks I'm good, maybe. Or number three has never really seen me play, but who knows what player number three heard from his friends or her friends about me and the way I play and how that's shaping their perception of me now. And then really one day you have to just go fuck it and fuck everyone. So what I said, this is so counter to improv advice, which is like everyone's a genius and you love them. Absolutely right. But that day when I said fuck everyone, it wasn't like I'm going to throw you under the bus. No. Can't wait. Or like I'm going to come out and walk on all your scenes. Can't wait to shine. It was just like no one's opinion matters. Like it just was like it doesn't matter. I'm going to do what I can do. And either you're going to fucking hate it or you're going to like it, but we'll see.
Yeah, because that's what everyone else is. I mean, that's what other people are doing.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get like male versus female, but I feel like females sometimes are more concerned with what the guys are going to, you know, are more like they defer more.
Yeah.
And I'm a Jersey girl and I very rarely defer. Right?
Santina, I'm from Baltimore, girl. And like I told you when I came here, I was like, I'm cussing you out and I'm cussing you out.
Yeah. I don't
defer. Like, I'm not, I'm pretty alpha too. Like, I'm pretty,
But all of a sudden, I'm on this team and I'm like, well, let me see if their idea might be better than mine.
Right?
Like, what is happening?
Yeah. I had a whole, let me tell you, I had a whole identity crisis in that month. I was like, wait, am I a timid bitch? Like, did I?
Right.
I didn't know this about myself. All of a sudden, I thought I was like alpha and very outgoing and confident. Mm-hmm. And know myself and never felt like inferior to a man in my life.
Yeah.
And get on Harold Knight and you're like, oh, wait, are they better than? It's weird.
I left a practice crying one time.
Yeah. Because did you not feel good?
I was, well, the other girl on the team wasn't there for that practice. I was the only girl.
Yeah.
And I just felt like, I don't know, whatever it was, I felt like I was in a boy club.
Yeah.
The coach was male that day. And I just felt like everything they were doing, they were like all on the same page and it was felt like a boy club. And I left crying.
It's upsetting.
I felt like such an idiot.
And that's the thing. This is our Jersey girl crying because she, Harold is so weird. And that's people who don't are not odd. I'm like, dude, you have no, to get cut really sucks. That's a different case, but like to not have gotten on yet or whatever. It's like, you don't want to be on one before you're ready. And two, like, again, it's a one big mind fuck. Like, it really is one big, it can fuck with everything.
Sure.
But what you were saying though, too, about like, feeling like it's a boys club. I mean, my team was like Eight Babies was five guys and three girls. So it was very much like, okay, we're on the boys.
Oh my God. Well, mine was six and two.
Yeah.
There's only one other girl.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
No, but also the idea that you felt like you didn't know what they were talking about, at certain times or like they're all on the same page. So there was so much going on when I started Eight Babies, because this was like another thing where I was like, because I'm the only person of color on this team at all of any, like, I mm-hmm. was like the diversity hire for 8 Babies kind of situation. That's what it felt. But like, because of that, I took it as a real I took it as a real compliment from Mike that I was like, oh, you put me on this team with these people who are so good and whatever. I was like, I take it as a compliment. You think I can hang, but about not knowing what they're talking about, being the only diverse person, here's a fun fact about me. I don't know a lot of references, like, just because, like, let me tell you, I don't know shit, to be honest. And like, now everyone knows that about me. Like, they're like, when they play like 8 Babies, it took them a while, but like, now they're like, oh, Ego doesn't know anything. So I know the movie The Town, right? So like, that's my that's my movie go to and like, I've seen other movies, but I don't remember them. So you know that Sorry I'm Late exercise? I don't know if everyone's
done. Yeah,
where you like give the details of a movie. I'm never going to guess your movie. Like, I'll never, ever in a million years guess what movie it is, because I might have seen it, but I do not remember movies. Like, there are very few movies I remember. And I've seen a decent number, but I'm like, I don't remember them. Okay. So I felt like with 8 Babies, I was like, okay, 7 white people who all know Dave Matthews Band. I couldn't name one single Dave Matthews Band song to you right now. If Santina, you were like, I will give you $1 million and pay your student loans off. Can you name a Dave Matthews Band song? I can't. And like, that's like, seems like general knowledge for white people or something. And like, or I'm trying to, Santina's face is like, I don't know that I can.
Pretty sure I'm thinking of
a different
band. For what? No, I got.
Okay, you have one. You have your date. What is, tell me one so that I just know for life purposes.
Crash into me.
Good. I know this now. Crash into me. Good. And then the next time.
But I was thinking of Lightning Crashes at first, which is
not them. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So Crash into me. Yeah. Great. And then like, my next hurdle will be like being in a scene and someone says Crash into me and be like, let's sing it. And I'll be like, I'm going to crash into me. I want you to crash into me.
That's really
close. It's an R&B song now.
What is it? Well, I'm not going to say.
Okay. That's fine. I was going to see if I could pimp her into singing. So there were things like that where I broke through the ceiling or whatever it was because of all the advice from you and Eugene and all this stuff, and having decided like, okay, I'm on here for some fucking reason. And I didn't get on my first try, which is okay, because I also think sometimes people get on their first try. It's like, oh, you weren't quite as ready as you thought. So I was like, okay, I spent the last year really working at this. I feel ready. I was on an indie team that just did Heralds. It was people who had like got callbacks. It's the Dukes. And we just did Heralds for that entire year.
Oh, right.
So like, I felt, and playing with them was like a good prep. That's another thing. Like, playing with them was good prep, because I thought I was always alpha, and I think I am still. But on the Dukes, I'm playing with these people. Did I know any of them? I knew Jess C. Klatt. So it's 8 of us. I knew Jess C. Klatt. I like met Teresa Decker in my callback. And then everyone else I didn't know. And I knew originally it was Chris Raby on it originally. I think so. Yeah. So like, he doesn't do improv anymore, which is great for him. He doesn't want to.
No, he's great. Okay, he's amazing. Very successful. Yeah, he's an awesome guy.
Yeah, he's amazing. But I remember being on that team and not knowing these guys, and like, we had our first practice, second practice, third, and I was like, this is a shit show. I was like, these motherfuckers won't let me talk. Mm-hmm. I was like, I can't talk. Like, I can't say anything. But it was good practice, because, of course, we started to find our groove. It took some real time. But I remember those first few, and I've told them all this. This is no secret. Love those guys, like, so much. But I've told them, I was like, yeah, it was like, I could have been a fucking piece of dead anything.
Right,
I didn't need, you didn't need me in any scene where it was just us. But that was good practice for me, because for me, like, playing with alphas. But then we had this next hurdle of like, okay, 7 white people, and you're going to say things like the Dave Matthews Band, or you're going to, and I know that that's a band that exists. I just couldn't tell you anything about them. Or like, I was going to say Red Hot Chili Peppers, but I know some of their songs. Okay. So anyway, like, little things that I'm like,
God, one time they were in the audience when we did, when Landler was doing a Herald.
Wait, you're lying.
No, I'm not. Two of them, Anthony Kiedis and one other.
Which one is Anthony? See, now you got to tell
me. Anthony is the lead singer guy.
Oh, he's the lead singer.
Yeah.
Okay. What?
I know. It was so fun.
Also, like, when you look out into the Herald audience sometimes, you're like, what is that person doing here? What?
I know. Yeah, it was when we weren't doing Herald night. We were doing improv versus stand-up.
Yeah, okay.
So it was like one of those nights. So Landlord was performing in it, and it was him and someone else. Like, Johnny told me, and I thought Johnny was doing a bit.
Because Johnny's a bit guy.
Yeah, but No, but then I like peeked out of the curtain. I'm like, oh,
what? He's really that there. Is so crazy.
It's cool. That's like what I
also, yes, UCB. How amazing is that? Like sometimes you're just like the people who've come to see your shows and you're like, and they're laughing and shit. And it's like, what? I'm making this like amazing.
Hayden Christensen and Rachel Bilson were at my 101 grad show.
Stop. No. Do you know what?
I know. That was my first experience.
Who invited them?
Two guys were in my class and they knew him.
Are you serious?
Yeah. It was so cool. And afterwards they like told me what they liked my scene. And I'm like, is this LA? And then it wasn't. Never happened like that again. Yeah. But I thought like,
is this LA? That's good. I wouldn't know. I don't know that anyone in any of my shows at UCB. Man, that is so cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would have hoped that at least like Harold Knight would like get me a husband, right? Like somebody would like see me on stage and then come out after and be like, hey, I'd love to marry.
You got another.
I have like more time. Yeah. I have more time. So yeah.
No, I'll find a husband another way.
You probably don't want a man who in the audience is like, you don't want that guy who's like, hey girl, I saw you performing, but I'm too thirsty right now, so like it's fine. I'll take him. It's cool. But yeah, it's such an amazing community though too. Like you think about the people who do come and even just like take classes too.
Yeah,
it is.
Interesting.
Man, I think, yeah, because, this 4 years have passed. So, like, when you asked me when I started, like, passed. It has flown is what I mean to say. It's like, when you asked me when I started, to say 2012 sounds like, I feel like I started, like, 2 years ago, max, or something. But I'm like, oh, no, it's been over 4 years, which is crazy. But it's just so much to see how much people like how much the community has changed in that time.
Yeah.
And how much it's grown. When did you start taking class?
2014.
Okay. Yeah. I'm thinking I saw your one woman show too. I was thinking about that. Man, was that, it feels like that was last year. When was that actually?
No, that was like 2 years ago.
Okay. See, yeah. It feels like
that was before I was on a Herald team.
Too. Yeah.
Because I didn't get on a team. And then I said, okay, I'm going to write my show. And then,
Yeah. Oh, my
that's
goodness.
That's what I mean. You can do other things.
Yeah, you really can, though. Great. And that's what's exciting is, like, I have friends who, unfortunately, have gotten cut, too. And it's like, you're so talented. If you were to be like, oh, I got cut from Harold Knight. I have to stop doing comedy. It'd be, like, such a disservice to yourself, to people all over the world who would laugh at the stuff that you write and create. So that's, I mean, for me, improv too, aside from what it's done, the resume stuff, it's so interesting because for me personally, the resume stuff feels like, I don't know that exists anymore because even now I have a friend who took 101 or something like that. And then she was like looking for rep and they were like, oh, you only took 101.
Oh my God.
So like they know the levels now. Like UCB has blown up to the point where like reps know the levels. Are you in advanced study yet? Like they know So it's blown up so much. But to think about like what it's given me is like friendships. So many friendships, right?
Yes.
Because I went to college here and I still felt like, because a lot of my friends, none of them, I didn't study theater or anything in the arts. I was a biology major. And so a lot of my friends went off to like medical school and they went back to their respective homes and cities, whatever. And so for a while, I remember before I started UCB, it's like, people say it's easy to like make a web series. You have to have the will to do it and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, but who's going to help me shoot it?
I know.
And who's going to help me edit it? And who's going to be in it? And who wants to do sound? Like, that's not real. And then I came to UCB and it's like, oh, all the people here want to create. And so many of them are such wonderful people, so talented, so excited.
And shit gets done.
It really, Santina, girl, let me tell you, I was like, oh, wow, this is where the magic actually happens. Yeah.
And then on a personal level, I was just, in the hospital earlier this year, and I had over 130 visitors.
Yeah.
And I would say 70% of them are UCB performers.
Which is incredible.
It's amazing.
Which is amazing. That is so amazing.
Because we're far away from home.
Yeah. And it's like these people have become like family and they have your back, truly.
Whether or not, because I was just cut from the Herald team and it's not like they were like, oh, we would have visited you, but you're not on Herald Knight anymore.
Yeah, but
sorry.
It was like, no, it was no. Like, no, we love you. Yeah, that's the thing is like, by and large, even with the weird people who like act weird with friends, by and large, the majority of people are just like very loving and supportive and your friend and want to and wish you well.
But it was a confidence booster for me to see how many people visited me.
Yeah.
you know, within the community, even after, because that's one of the things I think people are afraid of when they're, you know, being cut, yeah. is that they're kind of like being taken out of the social circle of it.
Yeah.
You know, because there are exclusive emails sure. and exclusive parties and exclusive text chains that go, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you're out when, yeah. of a lot of them.
Yeah.
So that was one of my kind of like things I was bummed out about. But yeah. then when I was getting all these visitors, I felt like, okay, I'm still a part of it. Maybe I'm not going to that specific party or whatever it is, but I have my other things going
yeah.
on. But, you know, I think people are kind of like, it's definitely a thing. You know, like, sure, you're still going to be in a text message chain with eight babies, but you guys are not going to text every day like you are now.
I know. That's the thing. Not. I was thinking that, yeah, like, that's just, that's the fact of it. I was like, that's the reality is like, okay, now you've become this new team. And like anybody who was like, even people, there were some people like plucked from teams, like the one person or the two people plucked from a team. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, you guys are still going to have that bond and always love each other. And, you know, maybe that thread will still exist, but it's like they're onto a new thread because that's how life works, but not because they're like, oh, fuck this person. But it's just like, okay, well, this is the thing right now. This is right now what we're doing. But it is nice to see that when moments like that where it's like, oh, these people do actually care. Like,
yeah,
you, nice. But that's the cool thing about Herald here where we've talked about like the hard parts is like one cool thing is aside from the exclusive emails and all that stuff is like once you are on Herald Night is a thing, it's like you're always considered part of the Herald family. Maybe you're not, like you said, like on those emails or like there's this event that's for Herald members mm-hmm. or whatever the case may be, but it's like you are part of this group of people who share this thing and have this thing in common.
Yeah.
People who were on Herald Night 4 years ago, it's like we all have this thing and this experience that we shared and we right. know what it's like, so we like we get it. But yeah, I think that is a thing people are worried about. It's like, okay, aside from the validation that comes with it, mm-hmm. and the Herald audiences, you really can't beat. Like, as far as like their energy and excitement, because it's a lot of students, I feel. But it's like always a.
But there's also it's you can't beat it because it's like a high energy. But also, it's the most critical of all of the audiences.
Oh yes,
you know they're judging. They literally have notebooks.
Notebooks. Yeah, you see them with the notebooks, yeah. and they're like. And then that girl made this move, and like, why did she do that?
Yeah, yeah.
And then they go back to their teachers and are talking about you.
And they're like, the black girl. Yeah, that black girl. You yeah. can't, the girl in the wheelchair. Yeah. Like, they're not going to wonder.
I can't even get mixed up. Nope. I can't even get mixed up now. That's the thing. I was like, they'll be like, the black girl on yeah. that team. Like, yeah. And it's like, oh, shit, I'm the only one. I can't.
I know.
Oh, shoot. Like, you know, yeah, but it is a very critical audience. Mm-hmm. That's what. Yeah, and that's the big thing about telling people, like, you know, you have to be prepared for that. And, like, you sometimes think you are. You're like, I could do a Herald. I know how to do a Herald. Like, a lot of people, I think, know how to do a Herald, like, yeah. if I'm being honest. But it comes with a certain level of pressure. And, like, and even when you see people who got cut, it's weird because sometimes I'm like, what are they looking for exactly? Because it's mm-hmm. not, you wonder, because sometimes I'm like, oh, are you looking for, like, bigger personalities? Are you looking for, like, a lot of aggressive people, whether it's like your personality is huge or like you're very confident in your moves, like, what are you looking for? Because it'll be people who I'm like, you may not be an alpha player, but boy, oh boy, like, you're so good.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said boy, oh boy, ew. ew. What am I becoming?
You're
80-year-old
so,
white woman.
Oh,
I'm like California,
so
old
California.
Woman. Boy, oh boy. No, ew. I often find myself judging things that I say. I'm like, ew, why did I say that? Take yeah. that back. So anyway, but boy, I'm upset with myself. I'll deal with this later. But anyway, like, you know, this person is like very, very talented. How come they got cut?
Right.
But also there's something to be said for how fast UCB is growing and the mm-hmm. amount of talent that comes in here and how competitive it has become over the years. I think last Herald auditions, they had over 700 people audition. That was like a record, I think, for Herald auditions. And I'm like, that's insane. But yeah, it's a fun thing we get to do, and it's mostly have fun. And what I was going to say is I got, aside from the friendships and relationships, is writing ability too.
Yeah. Cause
I never thought I could write before. Like, I've always like wanted to, I was like, but I didn't go to school for screenwriting and blah, blah, blah. Like, I never said I wanted to be a writer, even though I think I could do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you do enough improv, you're like, oh, things need a game. You need to justify people's weird behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And it just gives you so much insight into like this other world as well. And I'm like, it's all very useful. Like, I haven't taken any sketch classes at UCB. I should. I need money for that. But like, it's the reality. But I'm like, oh, I don't know if I have to, because, you know, I I get what a sketch, and you know, there's a game, there's a justification that happens, and then there's beats of that game.
Yeah, and then like I do storytelling and stand up and other things, and I am so, so nervous. You know, you have it memorized. You're so nervous, but the fact that I've done so much improv makes me a little less nervous because I know what the worst that can happen is I go off track and then I just have to kind of like make it up and it'll still be okay because I've
It's a very good tool. So like all that shit about me being resistant in the beginning because I do think there is a lot in this town in LA where people are like, you gotta go to this workshop with Clive Owens, who, you know, cast Bankmaster, that great show on Netflix. You gotta go to and pay for that. And I had gotten it to the point where I was like, I'm not doing anything else you tell me to do unless, not because I don't respect you, but just like, unless I actually think it's going to be valuable. Because that's another thing that could happen, which is like a very general, this maybe isn't long form related, but in this town is like, you start to feel... it's not dispensable, but just like a pawn in some big game.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, you want me to go over here and do this thing? And I have this audition for this thing that I don't want. And now I guess I have to, because if I say no, it'll look like I think I'm cocky and like I think I'm better than this. Mm-hmm. And like, oh, you take a class here. Okay. You want me to, I'll do whatever you want. I just want to have a career. But I will say that like of all the things that I ended up, like, it's kind of cool because it's the one thing I probably resisted doing, but then I found out that I loved it. Like when I took 101, I was like, oh my gosh, this is great. Like,
because
you go and you're auditioning. It's like, you also like with improv, you get to perform. There's shows at the clubhouse indie shows and like at the Inner Sanctum. And it's like, you get to do it. The thing you're working on. And with acting, you don't always, you may not be getting auditions or you may not have booked a job. And it's like, what are we waiting for? We're just waiting around.
And so, it's fun. I mean, who didn't play pretend when they were little?
I know. And to be adults, like, that's another thing. I'm like, we're grown-ass fucking people.
I know.
And we play pretend for fun and with for audiences, and people come and watch and care about the art form.
Right.
That's crazy.
Right.
Like, when I think about that, because I have friends who are now, like I said, like, in medical school, or my friend, my best friend's a lawyer, and I'm just like... yeah, you don't get to do this. I live a great life because
of this. But do they get it, those friends, when you tell them about, like, oh, I'm on a Herald team? What do they say?
So, okay, I'll tell you this. So my closest friends get what Herald is and Maude. Like, they, like, know the language. She's, like, in Texas, and she's like, okay, you're Herald team and Maude. Oh, are you at Maude rehearsal? Like, she just knows it all. But, like, I had called my mom, like, about Herald cuts to be like, oh, it's a weird day because, like, some friends got cut from Herald. And she was like, but you don't get paid, right?
So
that was actually my mom is also Nigerian. You have to understand, like, so she doesn't actually even know exactly what it is that I do. Like, she doesn't get it. Even with the JFL thing, she was like, you're going to win. You're going to win. And I was like, mommy, it's not a competition. There is no winner. Like, she just doesn't get it. But yeah, she said her first thing, like, not even trying to be supportive of my friends. That was her first just like straight man, rational. She goes, why are they sad? But you guys don't get paid, right? And I was like, no, we don't, Mom. And then she's like, don't worry. When I get $1 million, I'll pay all of you to live your dreams. I was like, oh, thank you. That's not enough. There's so many of them. There's so many. You're going to need more than $1 million. But it was like, yeah, that's another way to put it in perspective. It's like for people on the outside who don't do this thing, they just like don't get it.
Right.
They don't get it.
I was just recently back home and things would happen and I'd put it through an improv, like, scope through my mind. I'd be like, oh, my God, that's such a funny, like, I would try to do a bit, and they don't, it's resonate.
Like, this does not at all pick up.
And that's how I know I love improv, too, is that it's, I'll see something happen. I'll be like, oh, this is such a good location, like, for a scene, like, I've never, you know, put this in my pocket.
Yeah. See, that's my brain is. And, you know, you walk away from a show and you're thinking about it. And, like, I remember the idea of, like, okay, some people who were like, oh, I've auditioned this many years for Herald. I'm not going to audition anymore. I'm going to quit. And I remember being like, that's, like, a really sad for me because – and it's okay to quit by all means, right? But I was like, oh, this is how I know I love it because I'm like, that idea makes me really sad to, like, just never – just be like, I'm done with improv.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it anymore, like, in any capacity. Like, I'm like, that makes me sad. Like, I'd still want to be doing, you know, you're maybe not going to be doing Herald Night forever or, like, be doing it three nights a week forever, but, like, always be able to, like,
come do this
thing. Yeah.
Sure. I mean, and, like, look, someday you may be, like Chris Arabian, say, like, I just don't feel like it anymore.
Yeah.
And that's totally cool, too.
Yeah.
And we don't know, but, like, for whatever it is, for right now, living in the moment,
mm-hmm.
you know, just that like California way. I still like it.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
You still love it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's like, no, it's so much fun. But I get the frustrations related to it. I mean, isn't it interesting? I was going to say, isn't it interesting? This like thing we've created with improv, which is like everything, you have to be super positive about everything, which they have. Whoever thought of this, like whoever thought that like in a class when you go up and do a scene, even if it's shitty, everyone has to clap for you after. Like,
yeah,
if you make bad moves, people have to clap for you. And like we have to figure out the good shit you've done in the scene. Because I think that this is a thought that I've had, that my one thing about improv where I'm like, you know what I would change?
Yeah,
what I would change about this bitch I love is that like after shows and shit where people are like, oh, we just have to all pretend like that was
right.
good, or we all did a good job, or that like the good show thing kills me sometimes. I'm like, that wasn't a good show.
Right.
You know, that wasn't a good show. Don't say it. It's okay. We can all drive home a little upset, go to sleep, wake up, and like be fine again. But like, let's not say good show when it wasn't. Or like somebody backstage. I've had like very important growth moments in improv with like friends and closeness from being like, hey, why did you do that?
Yeah.
Like really on my indie teams, which I know is like not the norm and not par for maybe what they've established as far as like supporting everybody. But I'm like, that's one thing I'd change. I'm like, we can talk candidly without like hurting each other's feeling. I wouldn't be like, you're a bad player and right. you make, you know, but it's like, yeah, why did you, that's okay. I'm not mad at you, but yeah, why did you do that?
Yeah, yeah.
And I want people to ask me that. What were you thinking? Because it always feels like there needs to be a coach there to like facilitate that conversation. But it'd be kind of cool if people were just like, yeah, I didn't really understand that.
I think hopefully that comes with, you know, like time. And I would hope yeah. an established team by now could be like, bro, what was that? You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
But you can't really do that your first year.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing of like getting to the point where you can completely all be yourself. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah. Which is like the whole improv thing is like you have to get to a place where you are unapologetically yourself
yeah.
and confident in yourself, comfortable with yourself, what you look like on the outside because you're worried about what the audience is perceiving
mm-hmm.
And comfortable with like your own intelligence and like this is what I bring to the table. I know that this is what I do well. I know this is like a unique perspective or point of view that I have, and it may not be like any of the other people on Harold Knight or on any on the team I'm on right now, but it's valuable. It's valuable, and I know that, and so I'm going to play as such and like always support. And
yeah,
yeah, but it's a dream.
What are some of your other favorite forms? Like, what other forms do you like? So forget for a minute. Let's stop talking about Harold for a
second. Okay.
What other forms do you like?
Okay, so I love, you know what I think is so, I don't know if it's fun to watch or play more, I don't know, Pretty Flower is
yeah.
really cool. Like, man, I love a Pretty Flower to, it's just, it's because I feel like in scenes, right, for like Harold, just to even, or any, whatever, if you're doing a mono scene, someone makes an interesting mention or a specific, we offer a specific and we don't get to like, you can mm-hmm. maybe like bring it back later in the scene and like, you know, do a, not a second beat, but you know, address it again in the scene. But with a Pretty Flower, it's like, oh no, we want to see that thing. Let's go there. That's kind of cool because
yeah.
it's like, you don't feel so bound. It really like frees you up, I think, where it's like, this thing came up and you really are in the moment in that this thing came up and now we get to go see it. We didn't know it was going to come up, but now here we are in this cutting away to this scene where, mm-hmm. we see this thing. I love, I'm trying to remember, help me remember Devin and Haley's team that was on
The Hold Up.
Oh, so good. So I saw them do a Pretty Flower, they won't maybe not remember this, but like a year ago or something, a cage match.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is a good fucking Pretty Flower. I was like, I love, this is like flawless. It's like you wrote it. But that's always like
yeah.
the best improv. It's like, did you write this? And you know, they didn't, but it's
right.
like, this was amazing. But I was like, I think when I saw that, I was like, wait, this form is maybe the best. I don't do it enough. I don't even do Pretty Flowers enough. Like, 8 Babies, our last show, we tried to dabble with the idea of a Pretty Flower, but like sometimes what happens is you'll plan to do a Pretty Flower and then like because you've taken so long to cut away to anything else, you're in a mono scene.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and it's like you said, that same thing you said about like, oh, if you don't early enough, you
yeah.
know, set your tone for who you are and how you play, you're just in that, now you're just doing that thing.
In
that
the friend zone.
You're in the friend zone, right.
Yeah.
So, but that's my favorite. Do you have a favorite too?
I love Pretty Flowers. I also like mono scenes.
Yeah.
I like to watch the movie form when it's done well, but I don't know how to do it.
Yeah. I can't remember the last time I've seen, oh no, I know, at an indie show, someone did a movie form. It was weird because like it was hashtag no parents hosting after school special. And this team went up to do a movie form, but you get like 12 minutes. So the person on hashtag no parents calling the lights was like, it was weird because it's like you get 12 minutes. The show ends in an hour and a half. We have five, and you're letting them do their whole movie because you don't know when to cut it off.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, black them out. I was like, black them out. They're done. Go do the movie form somewhere where you could do the whole movie. But I'm like, you have 12 minutes. You're going to do a movie form.
Oh my God.
Which is fine. Like, do whatever you want. But I was like, so it was this very weird thing where we're all in the back like, black them out. they're on their 20th minute. We still have three teams.
Oh my God.
They're done. This is an indie show.
Right.
But yeah, I feel like who else? Someone does a very good movie form that people know. Is it it's New York. It's New York people. Is it Anthony Atamanik and somebody?
I don't know.
Okay, yeah. They came to LA and did it, and I was supposed to watch it, but then I got stuck at Birds. Exactly. You get stuck at Birds, yeah. And then you didn't get to. But
yeah.
I for a while I really. I like mono scenes as well, but it's interesting because I think that, like, the idea of, like, okay, you need to get some things up out at the top. Like, mm-hmm. you know, who is labeling people and labeling their game. It always feels very contrived in mono scenes. Like, I love them, but I always feel weird when I'm like, oh, Sally, you and the potato salad, you are just worried about perfecting that potato salad. Like, it always feels like that in mono scenes. And I'm like, who the fuck talks like that? Like, I got to find a better way to be like, hey, let's label this thing or this
really?
Person and give them.
I feel that way more in like in a Herald where you only have like a short amount of time to get those labels out.
Yeah.
Whereas like, I feel like I could be more patient, but okay.
No, I think
we're all different.
Because in my head, I'm like, this is going to go all... Okay, so the reason in my head for a mono scene that I do that is because I'm like, all right, so if we don't label anyone with anything necessarily, like people are talking, we're doing what we're doing. And if you don't give anyone that, like, this is your game, what's going to happen is, which is so stupid. This is me like sucking the fun out of it now that I'm saying this out loud, is that I'm like, oh, what's going to happen is you're going to say something and we still haven't labeled you. Okay, we're 10 minutes in or something. We still haven't labeled you. You might not get labeled at all as one. So that's not so bad because I've been in mono scenes where I'm like, oh, we didn't give you anything fun to do. But you can also give yourself something fun to do, right?
Sure, of course.
So like, but my other thought is like, oh, you'll say like too many things about yourself. And it's like, well, what's your thing? And now we don't know what to do with you either, or like me or whatever. It's like, so I'm always like, this is your thing. Have fun. But it's like, don't do that. Don't listen to me. You should have like fun the way Santina describes. It's like, take your time. In my head, I'm like, we have to know what everyone's doing so we can do it. But that's not true. It's not factual.
Well, sometimes you forget what you can and can't do. Like yesterday I was in an improv practice with one of my, you know, indie teams. And there was a group game going on. And I was thinking in my head from the back line, like, oh, it would be so funny to see this done like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just thinking it. And then the scene's over. And then we're, like, talking about it. And then he's like, well, it kind of just was, like, a little bit stagnant. Like, what could we have done? And then I'm like, oh.
You could.
My idea that I had, all I had to do was just do it.
Do it. Yeah. But that is, yeah. I think that,
but
too.
You forget or
you do.
Something.
Because also, there's this weird, like, even, like, from the few teams I've coached, so anyone will let me coach them, which is, sometimes I'm like, what am I doing here?
Sure.
You know, but like, the few teams that I've coached, when I see people who are like struggle with tag outs and like the mechanics of that, maybe that's a thing that needs to be reviewed more, because I feel like I see so many people, and I'm not saying that's like the symptom of whatever happened with you, but sometimes it's like, what if we want to see this version of this? Like, how do we properly and smoothly take us to this thing?
Right.
Like, do I tag everyone out? Do I tag these ones out and then tell this one to come back? I've seen it done so many different ways, and it'd be like, maybe like a clear like handbook
right.
way of,
have a handbook.
Yeah, and people should read it.
And people should read it.
But like, I watch people, and I'll be coaching, and I'm like, oh, the weirdest like tag out situations happen, and I'm like, because it wasn't clear what you were.
Also because we're taught all of our lives how to be people, and in a real life conversation, you would never be like, touch somebody's shoulder and completely change the subject, right? You can't
do that. Yeah.
So it's like, for me, it's like I'm like feeling too polite or something.
Yeah. You know what, being the polite thing is that Fernie says, I took his advanced study class. That's whose class I took. That was advanced. I took his advanced study class, and he said, like, thing with improv scenes that he has a problem with, or what he sees with a lot of improv scenes, or even in Herald auditions, or whatever the case, when he's watching, is that everyone's being too polite.
Yeah.
And I'm like, when people stop acting polite and start getting rude. Every time I think of him say that, I think of the Real World line. But it's true. I'm like, yeah, that is it. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, these people are having fun. They're onto something. Or I don't want to rattle this up. Because mm-hmm. he stresses emotion, too. And I think for a while, too, it was like, would it be so strange if I had some big emotional reaction in the middle of this scene to this thing that's happening? But it's like, oh, scenes beg for that. Like, even if nothing funny happens, like, a way for a scene to just be more interesting, mm-hmm. infinite, like, exponentially, is to, like, have an emotional reaction versus just, like, here we are talking, and you're very rational. Now, I'm very rational, and here we are just going back and forth. Like, he stresses, like, emotion and also don't be polite. And I'm like, yeah, that's a real thing. Because I do think I'm often like, oh, well, they know what they're doing and I don't want to, they're in a flow. They're going to get to a thing.
Maybe. Yeah, because you have to retrain the way we've been taught to interact. Because when you're doing it, it's the same thing. Like, you've been taught not to have a big, giant emotional reaction in the middle of a normal conversation.
Yes.
Like, for me also, when I'm doing a scene and the person is my husband or my boyfriend, I always get noted, like, often get noted, like, you know, well, you might want to be a little nicer. But then when it's my boss or something, I get noted, like, try to have a reaction. So, like, I'm really treating it like it's real life. Like, I would never to my boss be like, no, no, what? This is the last time.
Yeah, exactly.
But with my husband or my boyfriend,
you would
I feel
be like, this
like
is
I'd
the last
like,
fucking time.
Yeah,
no, I get that. So that's interesting, too. But you also, this is the other thing about, like, improv notes is like there are so many brilliant people with so many brilliant perspectives, but it's also like sometimes one thing I had to know, like you should always take the note and like take it into account and consider it and figure out if you can inject it into the way that you see the world or play, like specifically a note like that, right?
Right.
But it's like, yeah, Santina, would you not? I get noted like, is that I'm like too out the gate, like not no, it's not even no, it's not that I'm like no, it's like that I'm not nice enough.
Yeah.
And it's not, yeah, it's this weird, like, oh, but you immediately were annoyed with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I don't know. I just want to hit the ground running. And that might be my real response to this annoying person. And so that's all I'm starting with is like, you might be nicer, but I'm maybe not a nice person.
Right. Well, maybe so, someone from a certain part of the country who has certain different manners or something.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Would be like, I had one where I was thinking, I was like a Uber passenger and my driver was like annoyed. It wasn't even creepy. It was like super too talkative, and I was just like, please just take me to the Grove, because that's how I feel when my Uber drivers talk to me. I'm like, please don't. I don't want to talk to you. So, like, that was my, you know, that's my reaction. I was like, oh, be a little nicer. And I'm like, yeah, I guess. I mean, in my head, I'm like, I still want to react like that because that's my reaction. But, yeah, yes, you know, be nicer. You still have to have the conversation because it's just two of you in a scene. So you want to make it so that it's like the door is not closed completely, which I agree with 100%. But it's like my real response to that is like, oh, no, another conversation.
All right. Yeah. Well, if you could give one piece of advice, so hard.
Okay.
But what's like your go-to? Okay, so now you're me now, right?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Now
okay.
It's, you're on a Herald. Well, you're sort of me.
Yes.
But it's your turn to give advice to the incoming people, right? What are you going
to
say?
To the incoming people is to, no, well, I want to steal your advice. It's the best fucking advice. Don't worry about getting cut. But if I could add, let me, something else. Is that Santina's advice? Is to trust your instincts and be bold in the and showing those instincts.
Mm-hmm.
Trust them and be bold. Don't worry about what people think of you. Even if it's not people with cutting power, if it's the audience and you're like, are they laughing at me when I say something? They seem to be laughing at Josh. Who's Josh? I don't know, but it sounds like an improv boy, right? They're laughing at Josh. Everything Josh says gets a laugh. But it's not, I'm not getting a laugh. It's like, mm-hmm. be confident in those instincts, and know yourself because you did something to get there. Mm-hmm. And it's not sucking anyone's dick. So, you know, you did good improv to get there. Or maybe, no, I'm kidding. It wasn't. So like, but like you did something to get there and you showcase something in your audition and your callback that would tell the committee that this person could be up there. So it's like, trust those same instincts and be confident and bold in them. Cause again, I do think when I watch some people who got cut, I'm like, I just feel like I know you, who am I to fucking say, but I'm like, you were in your head. You were in your head. And everyone knows in the community or whatever, like, you're brilliant and amazing, but it's like, you were in your head, mm-hmm. and it's don't be. So trust your instincts. That's my advice. Truly. You've probably heard that before, but like more than ever on Herald Night. More than, if you think you trust your instincts, like, double down on that and do even more. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So thank you so much. That was Ego Vodem. I'm Santina Muha, and this has been a Long Form Conversations. Next week, we return back to New York. Thank you guys so much for listening.
You've been listening to the UCB Long Form Conversations podcast on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network. If you like this podcast, please subscribe and review at itunes.com/UCB Comedy. The opinions expressed in this episode are those of the comedians talking and don't necessarily reflect the opinions of UCB Theater or Training Center. Find cutting-edge comedy videos on YouTube and Vimeo at UCB Comedy. Find our live shows at UCBtheater.com and connect with us on social media at UCB Comedy.